Grace, healing, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God to which we direct our attention is the 12th verse of the 12th chapter of the Revelation of St. John. Rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Counting Sundays after Trinity has never seemed to be a very meaningful way of observing half of the church's year of growth. Counting them after Pentecost hasn't seemed to help much. There is another way of counting the non-festival half of the church's year, and today is a reminder of that. Today, the day of St. Michael and All Angels, ushers in what is sometimes called the third cycle of post-Pentecost, which has a specific emphasis for the church's life and witness. That the church struggles under the onslaught of Satan as it bears witness to its living Lord. It is a reminder to us that we are called to be the church militant and not yet triumphant. We know that there is challenge, for by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan has indeed been defeated, and in the war with Michael and his angels, he has been cast out of heaven. We know that those who have gone before us with the sign of faith and our peace already now celebrate that victory. Now is the salvation of our God for those who gave witness and did not fear unto death. And you and I live in the anticipation of sharing in that victory and having it actualized in us. Indeed, that has already begun. For we have been buried with Christ by baptism, and we have been raised to newness of life in him. We have been made to sit with him in the heavenly places. We have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the city of our God. Yes, we know that there is silence, but it is not yet. And that's a tough lesson for us to learn in the church. For you see, we would like to be triumphant now. We would like to have that sweet smell of success be ours now. We would like it when the PR department of churches issues statements that people out in the world would listen. After all, isn't that why you have a PR department, usually bigger than any other? Why, some people even tell us that if you are really God, you ought to expect success to be yours. And so you can lounge with your sermon text before your swimming pool and your colonnaded colonial mansion and other such banalities that if we are faithful to God, we shall have tremendous success. We will really be where the action is and will be part of the power brokers of the world. And people will listen. Well, you may be a very successful religious organization and have all that beneficent power come to you, but I hate to remind you this, you will not be church. Whatever you will be, it will not be church. And we have our Lord's word for them. So that is the import of the day of St. Michael, to remind us that there is still a struggle going on, and that there is someone who has great power and might, and who makes us his prime target for his onslaught. Rejoice then, O heaven, and ye that dwell therein, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And he will use every trick and every power at his command to stop the movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the hearts and lives of people. He knows that his time is short. He knows and he believes, if lots of sick people don't, that Jesus Christ will come in triumph and usher in the new age. And a reminder that this is a day to remember the might and power of angels tells us something about the intensity of the struggle in which we are engaged. And it reminds us that as long as the church is the place where God's grace is active, we should expect that there would be temptations and trials from without and within. And that is why we need to rely on something other than our power, our wisdom, our plans, our programs, our approaches to success, yes, even our measuring system. It is a time to be reminded of that which we hear every time we go to the Blessed Eucharist. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. And that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the power of his death and resurrection, which comes to us in word and sacrament and in all the other reminders of God's people to tell us, here is the source of power to meet the onslaught of the enemy, not in you, but in the power of his might. We are first militant, not yet triumphant. And what that means has never been more graphically portrayed for us than it is in St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That suggests, in the strongest possible language, that we are involved in battle, that we are the church militant. And we live in the not yet of our triumph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.